The Bible reading is taken from 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 18 to 24, and it can be found on page 964 of your Pew Bible. As surely as God is faithful, our word to you has not been yes and no. But the Son of God, Jesus Christ, whom we proclaimed among you, Silvanus and Timothy and I, was not yes and no, but in him it is always yes. For all the promises of God find their yes in him. That is why it is through him that we utter our amen to God for his glory. And it is God who establishes us with you in Christ and has anointed us, and who has also put his seal on us and given us his Spirit in our hearts as a guarantee. But I call God to witness against me. It was to spare you that I refrained from coming again to Corinth. Not that we lord over your faith, but we work with you for your joy, for you stand firm in your faith. This is the word of the Lord.
Morning, everyone. Morning. Sorry, lots of bits with me this morning. So. Let's just pray. Lord, we welcome you as the faithful one. We thank you that we have confessed our unfaithfulness to you, but you have been faithful to forgive us and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. We thank you that you are to be trusted and that we can be sure of your promises. So Lord, as we open your promise book now and as we seek to understand the things that are in it for us, we pray that you would give us your promised Holy Spirit again so that we might see wonderful things in your law. We pray this in Jesus' wonderful name. And everybody said, amen. Amen. Folks, good to see you all. Apparently, there's a story that I read online that in 1994, so not that long ago, a 67-year-old man named Russell Herman died in Illinois. And in his last will and testament, he left the following: $2.4 billion to a nearby town, $2.4 billion to East Street Louis, $1.5 billion for projects in southeastern Illinois. Wow. And in the final act of unprecedented generosity, he left $6 trillion to the Federal Reserve to pay off the national debt of the United States. And there was only one wee problem. When he died, all he had was an old 1983 car. He had no money whatsoever. Okay, now it was good. It was a good idea, but he didn't leave anything of any monetary value. But he did leave us with a good reminder. You can promise all you want, but if you can't deliver on it, it's not worth a whole lot, is it? But the wonderful thing is that that is not so with God. The wonderful thing is that when God makes a promise, as Nicola has just read to us, in Christ, they all find their fulfillment in Jesus. All his promises are yes and amen. Now, put up your hand if you watched the BBC program, The Traitors. Who watched that? Okay, well, that's quite an immoral program. So, I haven't watched it. No, I would love to tell you about the final of The Traitors, right? But it's so good. You just need to watch it, all right? And I don't want to spoil it for you. It is so good. But I'll tell you something. What the program The Traitors tells us, not only does Claudia Winkleman have one thick fringe, that's one thing it tells us. The other thing it tells us is people can lie. I mean, people can lie. And there are a couple of people, there's a reality show where people sort of pretend to be faithful or whatever, but some of them are what's called traitors, and they're trying to get all the money for themselves. But people will say, I 100% promise I'm a faithful. Isn't that right? I 100% promise I'm a faithful. And they are able to look people in the eye and swear on their families, you know, that they're telling the truth. And we know that they're telling a lie. It's crazy. And it's so difficult, isn't it, nowadays? You know, politically, in terms of TV, in terms of lots of different things, it's so difficult to know what is truth. Even in terms of the news, what is truth? But we have a God who, the Bible says, never lies. And he always fulfills his promises. I love what D.L. Moody says. He says, God never made a promise that was too good to be true. God never made a promise that is too good to be true. You know when people say, if it sounds too good to be true, it probably is. That's not the case in God. All his promises are yes and amen in Jesus. I just want to look very briefly at some of the story of Joshua and some of the story of the children of Israel entering into the promised land. Okay, I'm going to put a couple of scriptures up on the screen, hopefully. I just want you to look at these two scriptures. These happen in the story of Joshua leading the Israelites into Canaan. Read the first one. This is from Joshua 11. So Joshua took the entire land, just as the Lord had directed Moses, and he gave it as an inheritance to Israel according to their tribal divisions. Then the land had rest from war. Okay, now don't read the next one just yet. So what we're seeing here is Joshua takes, as a leader, the entire land of Canaan, just as God had directed Moses back in Egypt. And he gave it as an inheritance to Israel according to their tribal divisions. The promise has been fulfilled to bring them into the promised land. And it says, then the land had rest from war. Doesn't that sound wonderful? All the promises have been fulfilled. God has done what he said he would do. Joshua has led the children of Israel into the land of promises, and there is peace. Wonderful. But look at just two chapters later. When Joshua had grown old, the Lord said to him, one of the most encouraging words in the Bible, you are now very old, okay? And there are still very large areas of the land to be taken over. I mean, if you add up those two scriptures, they seem like they don't add up, do they? You know, in one it says that he took the entire land, but in the other it says there are still very large areas of the land to be taken over. Is this a contradiction? Is this a contradiction that we see here? Well, I don't think so. Because you see, when Joshua led the children of Israel, when Moses led the children of Israel out of Egypt, God fulfilled his promise to take them out of slavery. And when Joshua led them across another sea, the River Jordan, when he led them across the Jordan into Canaan, God fulfilled his promise to bring them into the promised land. But it was incumbent on the tribes to actually take the land. Okay, so the war was won, the battle was won, Jericho was overthrown, they entered into the land of promises, the land was fully theirs, but they had to inhabit it, and they had to actually take the land. It wasn't going to be difficult, but they had to do it. But the problem is that as Joshua is old, the people are on the premises, but they are not fully entering into the promises of God. They're living in the promised land, but they haven't done what is their spiritual birthright, which is to take the land, defeat the giants, enter into the good things of Canaan. They're on the premises, but they're not standing on his promises. And yet they should be. I wonder, does that in any way relate to our lives? Just look at the promises of God. If we move to the next slide, we see here, in Exodus 6, this is a promise to Moses, through Moses. I will bring you into the land that I swore to give to Abraham, to Isaac, and Jacob. I will give it to you for a possession. I am the Lord. Promise through Moses. You're going to have the land that's yours. Later on, and he says this many times, but later on he says to Joshua, Remember the word that Moses, the servant of the Lord, commanded you, saying, the Lord your God is providing you a place of rest and will give you this land. The promise is there. The promise of redemption and the promise of freedom and the promise of abundance is there. But while they're on the premises, they are not standing on the promises. They're not taking the land that has been given to them. These promises are being ignored. And the people are saved out of Egypt, but they're stuck in terms of making spiritual progression. How does this relate to us? Well, if we think about it, the New Testament, well, the Old Testament as well, but the New Testament certainly, Ephesians chapter 1 says that if you are a Christian, you have been blessed with every spiritual blessing from the heavenly realms. Every spiritual blessing, if you're a Christian. Every spiritual blessing. Every blessing that's mentioned in the Bible has been released into your life through Jesus. Are we living in the fullness of that? Another scripture that we've just heard read to us there says that we should shout amen to the promises of God because in Christ they are yes. Are we living out with total confidence that we are recipients of these great and marvelous promises? You know, I was chatting to somebody recently and they were talking about having been doing something in an African-American church, okay? And they were English, okay? And they were just doing a reading in an African-American church. And they were being asked to read Isaiah 61, right? And they just got up, just in their suit, you know, in this African-American church, they got up and they got up to read the lesson. And they said, they just began, you know, the scriptures from Isaiah 61. And they said, right, the Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is upon me. And the congregation went, yes, it is. Okay. And the person was like, oh, okay. Because the Lord has anointed, yes, he has. Okay. To proclaim good news to the poor. Amen, brother. You know, and every single line that he read of Isaiah 61, it took ages because every single line that he read, they were all jumping and shouting and stamping and all this sort of stuff. He found it really off-putting. Okay. But they were seeing these promises as promises to them. They saw that in Christ, all his promises are yes and amen. It's an incredible thing. When you pray and you take a promise in the morning that you read in your scripture, and you pray and you say, Lord, I thank you that you are my shepherd, and I thank you that with you I lack nothing, and I just want to thank you for that, and I want to accept that through Jesus Christ. Amen. Okay, just imagine you pray that in the morning. Do you know what's happening there? All his promises are yes and amen in Jesus. When you say, through Jesus Christ, you get God's yes. God is saying, yes. By my son, yes. He is present with you. He is your shepherd, yes. And then when we say amen, you know what we're doing? We're giving our yes. Do you see that? So, I mean, we're in this sort of Christian language, aren't we? Where we just kind of pray and then we say, through Jesus Christ, amen. Okay, it's just like a wee quick finish to a prayer, isn't it? But it's not a wee quick finish to a prayer. When you say through Jesus Christ, you are actually speaking out the fact that in Jesus, God has said yes to you receiving this promise. And then when you say amen, or we say amen, we're saying, so be it, yes, yes, yes. That is what we're doing at the end of our prayer. So we shouldn't say that lightly, okay? When we say through Jesus Christ, we are saying, we declare that this has been given to us by God through Jesus Christ. That has been released by the cross. And then when we say amen, we're saying, and we're going to take it. You see that? Anyway, that's a wee aside. That wasn't written here. He's given us so many promises. How many promises do you think there are in the Bible? Who wants to have a little guess? Let's have a guess. How many promises? More than three. Less than a million. Okay, who wants to go? Have a guess. You win a prize. If you get the exact number, you win a prize. Okay, so what do you want to guess? Go. Three. Oh, jeepers. Maybe I shouldn't. It's a small prize. Okay, right. Okay, 3,000. Okay, 3,000. Any other guesses? Any advance on three? Any advance on three? No? What do you think? How many? 3,500. Conservative. Just a little bit up. Okay. Well, a guy called Everett Storms, which is an incredible name, isn't it? Everett Storms, in 1956, he read the Bible for the 27th time, okay, the entire Bible for the 27th time. On the 27th time, he wrote down what he saw as every promise. And it took him 18 months, and he found in the 31,173 verses in the Bible, he found 7,487 promises. Okay? 7,487 promises. Now, I'm not saying that's not debatable or anything like that. I haven't checked. Okay, I will. When I get time to read the Bible 27 times, I will. Okay. But we have, according to this guy, and I don't think he's far wrong, about 7,500 promises to stand on. Are we standing on them? Are we standing on them? And we can't stand on them if we haven't read them. Do you know only 11% of evangelicals read the Bible between Sundays? I hope you're part of the 11%. I hope that number grows. Only 11% of evangelicals read the Bible between Sundays. And is it any wonder that the church struggles? If the church aren't reading the promises of God and saying yes and amen to them. We're sitting on the premises, aren't we, every week? But what is that? 89% of us are not standing on the promises, if that's the truth. I love what Spurgeon, I always love what Spurgeon says, but Spurgeon talks about unused promises. So he's talking about the fact that there are these 7,487 promises, and he said, there's some of these that I haven't used yet. But I'm well assured that there will come a time of trial and trouble when I shall find that poor, despised promise, which I thought was never meant for me, and it will be the only one on which I can float. I know that the time is coming when every believer shall know the worth of every promise of the covenant. Folks, if we haven't read each and every one of those 7,487 promises, what about the day when we need that one and we don't have it? You know, myself and Emma and the staff had an amazing opportunity a few weeks ago, and it was just in the lounge in Doddingstown. Open Doors brought this lady over from the persecuted church, a lady from Malaysia, whose name is Susanna Koh, okay? No relation to David or Daphne Koh, okay? K-O-H, okay? And Susanna, her and her husband Raymond led a church in Malaysia, and basically it's legal in Malaysia to preach the gospel to all sorts of people, but not to people who are Islam. And Raymond was arrested. In fact, he was abducted 7 years ago. Just some 4x4s pulled up to his car, and he hasn't been seen since. And those who are on the prayer chain will know a lot of this, but we had this amazing lady and her daughter Esther here sharing their story. And Susanna is just amazing. You know, this lady has been cross-examined aggressively by these police. She's got her day in court very soon again, and it's amazing how she is having to rest on the promises of God. And it was just so beautiful to hear Susanna and Esther share what is keeping them going all these years later as they just continuously fight for the release of Raymond Koh. And what's keeping them going are the promises of God. She told a story, it wasn't that day, but it was on a Zoom that I had the privilege to be on with her. And she told the story of being like, do you know those movies where somebody's been aggressively cross-examined? And she's just, this person's coming at her, and she could just feel fear rising up in her as she was cross-examined. And her freedom could have been at risk at that moment as well. And it was actually a song called I Raise a Hallelujah that was just the promise that kept her going in that moment that she didn't cower to fear. Folks, we cannot be people who sit on the premises. We need to be people who stand on the promises. And Spurgeon says, I know that the time is coming when every believer shall know the worth of every promise in the covenant. You know, it becomes harder and harder to be a Christian. It becomes harder and harder to keep going in the faith. And we need to be people of the promise book that are standing on his promises. Because we're often living in paucity, just like Israel, we're in the promised land, but not enjoying the promises of the land. And we're living in paucity, and God does not want us to. I don't know where I heard a story about a couple who, for their wedding, they were given the gift of a cruise, an amazing cruise for their honeymoon. Okay, was that anybody here? They were given that gift of an amazing cruise for their honeymoon, and they had the most amazing 2 weeks on this cruise. And one particular night, they went for steak dinner because it was ridiculously expensive. One particular night, and they were even looking at the price and thinking, right, okay, we could stretch to it because it was a pretty fancy cruise they were on. And when they went to pay for it, the person said, oh no, that's paid for. Your steak dinner was paid for. And they were like, really? Who paid for it? And they were like, you're all inclusive. So for 2 weeks, they'd been eating pot noodles in their room, not realizing that all inclusive had been paid for. And folks, that is exactly most of our experiences of a Christian life. Every spiritual blessing has been won for us in Jesus. Every promise in the promise book has been given to us in Jesus. And yet we walk around in fear and in poverty when every promise is yes and amen. I would love to have time to get into this, but I actually think I'm actually going to have to stop quite soon. We'll talk about this again in the future week. There are two men who shine out above all the rest in the story of the Exodus. And it's that Moses is told by God to send out spies right after they get out of the slavery of Egypt and they get to the edge of the promised land. He sends these spies. And anyone who knows the children's song will know there were 12 men went to spy in Canaan and 10 were bad and 2 were good. Okay? And these spies were sent out. And 10 of these 12 spies came back with a report of, we cannot do this. We cannot possibly take this land. The people in this land are massive. And amazingly, they brought back fruit from the promised land, and that fruit was used to show how big the people were, rather than how prosperous the land was. And these 10 spies, they share such a negative report that everybody says, well, we can't go. Even though God has promised right from the very beginning, right from the burning bush, that you're going to inhabit the land, they say, oh, well, we can't go. And they wept that night because of the report that was given, the people. And these two men, Joshua, he'll become pretty famous later on in the story, and Caleb are the only two who stand up. And Caleb stands up and he basically says, we can do this. He says, see these giants you're afraid of? He literally says, they'll be like bread to us. We're going to eat them up. Because of the promises of God, we're going to eat them up. And you know what happens? The people pick up stones to stone them. You know, if you believe in the promises of God, it's amazing how the crowd won't believe it. It's amazing how it can seem naive to the crowd. Like, to give you a little example, I know this is a silly one, but myself and Zara talked about this quite a bit during COVID. When everybody thought COVID was the end of the world, I knew it wasn't. Because the world does not end in a plague. Do you know what I mean? We knew that was not the end of the world. Every time you look outside and you know it's raining so much, you think the whole world's going to flood. It's not. God said he would never flood the world again. And that sounds like naivety. It sounds childlike. But that is exactly the approach of the Christian. That we know these things because God has said them, and we believe these things because we trust him and because he has never failed us yet. And so Caleb said, we can do this. I don't know what's wrong with you boys. Come on and we'll get it. Well, these giants are going to be like bread to us. But they wanted to stone him. And as a result, they didn't go in and they wandered about for 40 years doing nothing. But the wonderful thing is, I think we've got a picture of them here. This is actually Caleb, one of the earliest selfies ever taken. Okay? The wonderful thing is, Caleb was 40 when he had this disappointment where he believed the promises but nobody else would. He was 40. 45 years later of wandering around the wilderness and having a few wee breakthrough moments, he's 85 years old. And at that stage, you think he deserves a cushy number, really, doesn't he? He's 85, but he's still holding on to the promises. And because of what was said about him at that stage, he knows that he won't die without entering the promised land. It's a bit like Simeon, who knew that he wouldn't die before he saw the Messiah. Because of a promise of God that he would put his foot in the promised land, he knows he's not going to die. And when it comes to it and they're giving out the regions, he says, I want Hebron, the mountain regions. 85 years old, he wants to take on a mountainous region with three giants to beat. But he says he'll do it. My father-in-law, in Easter week, Zara's dad, he turned 80. 80 years old. And after a big fray, we all got in the car and he walked Carcaree Rope Bridge, which is actually, it's grand now. You could cycle over it, you know, it's okay. But so, like, that was some walk for an 80-year-old, wasn't it? You know, up there and down there and across that bridge. And not a bother to him. And it's myself and Zara, we're trying to get fit now because we think, what'll we like when we're 80? But this guy's 85 and he says, I'm believing the promise of God. I've been believing them for 45 years. Give me my sword. Give me my land. I'm going to defeat those giants because God has promised it. Folks, there's so much more I could say, but are we believing? Are we believing in the promises of God? Are we standing on the promises of God? Let me just share some promises that are definite. When God makes a command, it's a you will. But when he makes a promise, it's an I will. And his I will is much better than mine. James 1 says, if any of you lacks wisdom, you should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to you. There's a promise. Ask God for wisdom. Mark 11:24. Therefore, I tell you, whatever you ask for in prayer, believe that you have received it and it will be yours. Come to Powerhouse tomorrow night. If we ask for it in prayer, we come with faith and he grants prayer. Psalm 37, take delight in the Lord and he will give you the desires of your heart. There's so many more I could share. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your understanding. In all your ways, submit to him and he will make your path straight. He'll guide you if you want guidance. That's one of the promises of God. Folks, to close, have you given your life to Christ? Because if you haven't given your life to Christ, these promises aren't yet yours. And sadly, the only promise that is really for you is a lost eternity in hell. That's the promise that we know of for those who have not given their lives to Christ. But if you're a Christian, all the promises of God, all 7,400 and something of them, are yours in Jesus. Have you given your life to Christ? If you have, these are all yours. Read it. And then the promise book becomes relevant to us. But promises can't just be heard. They have to be received and believed and identified with and entered into. Wouldn't it be tragic if the things that God has said yes to us for, we are saying no to? Wouldn't that be tragic? And he's done all this through Jesus and released all this through Jesus. And we aren't entering into it. And we're sitting here on the premises, but we're not yet standing on the promises. Let's stand now. Would that be good? And Emma's going to come and lead us in communion. And folks, as we receive communion, here's the important thing. we are receiving an answered promise. Isn't that right? You know, the curse that came on us in Genesis chapter 3 has been remedied by the promise that was made in Genesis chapter 3 of redemption. So we are receiving an answered promise. And as you receive that answered promise, thank him for it. Because it's the best promise that he ever made. But thank him for it. But also trust him for all his promises. And realize that that is the most wonderful promise, but he has many more promises for us. Lord God, come upon us now, your people. As that wee song says, you are waymaker, promise keeper, light in the darkness. That is who you are. Lord, I pray that we would be people who go after everything that has been bought for us and won for us at Calvary. I pray even as prayer ministry is offered at the end of our service, that we would all go and receive the sealing of the promises that you have made to us. That we would go and latch on to the relevant promise that we need to keep us afloat today. But that we would hold on to above everything the promise keeper, that we would live not by sight like the 10 spies, but by faith like the 2. Lord, make us, as was said of Caleb, men and women of a different spirit. Lord, make us, as was said of Caleb, men and women who follow after the Lord wholeheartedly. And Lord, may we believe the things that you have said. In the precious name of Jesus. Amen.